When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah. My favorite.
It's Judd's Hockey Show.
And welcome in to the exit meetings are done. Bill Guerin and John Hines have addressed the press just now. Zolgad at the X down in the dining room as they are preparing for a Tim McGraw tomorrow night. AJ at the controls here. I think it's Tim. Yep. Tim McGraw tomorrow night here at the X. I can't show you, but we have, actually I can. We now have tablecloths, age tablecloths, which are never here. And not only that, but centerpieces.
Oh,
centerpieces. And this is not in honor of Marc-Andre Fleury. This is the Tim McGraw. I think it's like a VIP room that the media room has been turned into. But before they do that, I have commandeered it as we could talk about Bill Guerin, largely Billy, the Wild GM, and John Hines, both speaking today after conducting a day full of exit meetings with some players, many of whom will be back, some of whom will not be back. It's interesting. Let's start off with this, though. Can I? So, did you hear this part where Bill Guerin acknowledged, so Brock Faber is not going to the World Championships, which is, by the way, completely signed off on, a Zolgadian. Don't go, dude. You played a ton. Yeah. Get your rest. You don't need to prove to the World Championships and take a chance of being hurt. But Bill Guerin, after I guess Brock had told the assembled press today, now I was not here for when the players talked to the media, that Brock said, I've got some things that I need to heal, and so I'm not going to the Worlds, where we did find out today that the Team USA coach will be John Hines. Turns out he's been playing 2 months with fractured ribs.
Yeah.
Hold on a second here.
Whoa.
I mean, we've been praising him up and down.
In my
opinion, he's the Calder. I mean, he is the guy that should win, and I know he won't, but he is the guy that should win the Calder Trophy. Now, granted, he is on a non-playoff team, but as good as Bedard is, you know what? He is on a team that's even worse. Without Brock, this team probably would have had a good chance to win the lottery. But that's beside the point. I admire Brock, but he'd been playing 2 months with fractured ribs. Like, you just think about hockey. First of all, mad respect. But second of all, these guys but guys like this are crazy. Think about this kid. Fractured ribs in hockey.
Oh my God. I mean, that's an every shift thing. That's an every shift thing. And to do it for not 2 days, not 2 weeks, 2 months, roughly 2 months.
Never said a thing.
I mean, there was times like, now that this came out, I remember there were times where I was like, okay, he got hit there and he looks like he's grimacing hard on the bench, but sure. You know, he just got something got pinched, whatever. This sheds a little more light on some of those instances. And you can infer this however you want to, Judd, chat, watching, people listening in the future. I don't know another rookie that battled through a fracture of any type for 2 whole months. And granted, just to pull something out of the air, you know, a jaw and a rib is completely different. But, I mean, 2 months of battling fractured ribs. Give him the Calder right now. Give him the Calder. He played the part. He walked the line. He didn't need to put his, he didn't need to be like outspoken about it. He kept it to himself. This is incredible. Like, this is a gem that the Wild have. This makes me, like, I was already incredibly high on a guy like Brock Faber, but you now have this guy that, you know, down the road when he's wearing that C that you talked about, you know, 6-7 years from now, whatever, they're going to need him in the playoffs, and he's not going to shed a tear. He's not going to wince at all. He's going to have the Bergeron, like, a lacerated lung, a punctured spleen, his shoulders out of his socket, but he's going to be out there in the dire moments blocking shots because he bleeds Minnesota Wild hockey.
This also sets up perfectly. Do you recall, we did a couple, I think it was more post-game shows. And if you recall, I think you agreed, but I said, Brock Faber's starting to struggle a bit, but I get it. Like, he's playing so much. And I just thought it was the wear and tear of a season. It now perfectly tracks to when he cracked his ribs. So the reason why he didn't play great is because he kept playing with cracked ribs. Again, I mean, I feel like I am often harder on players than I am praising them. But you know, Bill Guerin talked about the season, the disappointment. We'll get to that in a second. But I'm sorry, that Ogren Faber trade now is such a win. I mean, Kevin Fiala is a good player, don't get me wrong. And when he's going good, he can be magnificent. But first of all, he's very streaky. And second of all, if you told me flat out that you could get me a tough winger, you know, a bigger, tougher kid to play the wing and a defenseman who's this good, right now, the Fiala for Faber, Ogren out, is a Wild win. So I'm going to start you off with the good here. First of all, this kid, I mean, fractured ribs. Second of all, that trade is a definite win. Let's talk about my mixed emotions after hearing Bill Guerin, though, okay?
Okay.
I'd be curious to get your thoughts here. Not surprisingly, he's disappointed. He's disappointed. He said we didn't, you know, the good news was our guys didn't quit until they were mathematically out. And then we can all agree they basically took a powder, which I'm fine with, by the way.
Yeah.
Last night's loss, congratulations. That's awesome. Crack and get 2 points. Ugh. Why you would want 2 points, I'm not quite sure. And you know, Billy accurately pointed out the bad start that got Dean Evason fired was basically the kryptonite, because you're not going to come back from that. You're not going to make the playoffs in the first month plus, but you certainly can miss them. John Hines comes in, the team gets hot, Kirill gets hurt, the team goes in the toilet a little bit. But here's my mixed emotion, though. I do agree it was disappointing, probably. I think I told you this. With where this team is right now in its transitionary period, I'm not like that upset about missing the playoffs. Now there were games and there were efforts that I found to be objectionable. There were players, Marcus Johansson, who they sort of tried to defend, that I found to be objectionable. But my overall feeling was, one, and this is not a surprise, I don't think Bill said this, the depth was not there. This team did not have the depth. They're just, let's call a spade a spade. They've got some really good talent, but they're not that good. Now, I think the kids coming along are, but they didn't come up and get a chance till later on. And Bill was very, and this is Bill, he was very adamant that, you know, I'm not into slow playing things. I want to be super competitive next year. And I actually asked a question then. I'm like, how do you weigh playing guys? Like, I want to see your kids play. Mm-hmm. I don't want you to give John Hines the ability to defer to six-year guy who is going to, on a random Tuesday night, might play better than a struggling Ogren, but Ogren's not playing. And how do you go about that? And Billy started to talk about, well, the kids got to push the vets. The vets have to know that if they get pushed, that they could lose their job. All ideal. But for lack of a better term, my honest opinion for next year is, one, I think the kids could surprise. I think they've got enough young talent, and if they surprise and they go to the playoffs, awesome. But I am not in this in my world. I don't think that they should be in this to try to retool the roster with veterans to compete next year, as much as they should look at it as development, which means Volstead has to play. Mm-hmm. Ogren has to play. Could they go through slumps? Absolutely. Is it the perfect time to go through slumps? Absolutely. I get a little bit scared, though, by Bill's desire, and as an extension, age to be fair, I think it's also owner Craig Leopold's desire to try to win now, when I think this team is tracking really well if they play this the right way.
Yeah, I'll give you credit here. You made him collect himself before really addressing an answer. While I was watching, I mean, it was a lengthy pause of, okay, let's kind of,
I think I understand your question is his code for, I'm thinking through what I'm going to say to your question.
Yes. And that, and this is where I think he's a relatively straight shooter, Bill Guerin. This is an instance where I think he beat around the bush a little too much. His whole thing the entire time he's been GM of the Wild is, we want to win no matter the situation. Even after the buyouts, I think a lot of people expected, okay, we're going to step back. We're going to play a minor role in this league looking to retool. And to an extent, they sort of have at times. But for the most part, like, he's made those deadline deals to, like, you know, we can do something here. This, you know, the lineup feels special. This roster feels special. Acquiring Marc-Andre Fleury from an in-division rival Chicago Blackhawks team. That's a pretty powerhouse move. We didn't really see too much of that this year, and that was because I think in part the trade market was down around that deadline time. And now with 1 year out to go, it'd be weird to kind of change your tone and say, now's the year we're going to rebuild. Even if he kind of agrees with what you may have been leading the question towards of, yeah, this next year is, like, I think we both are in agreement, it's a development year. This is a year to really set yourself up, and to use the thing I've said before, you're setting your chessboard up with the pieces so that you can eventually make these moves and you have a plan in place. Craig Leopold does not want to do that. He still wants to go out and compete, because it's frankly really hard to say we're going to have a bad year and just plan to miss the playoffs when you have Matt Boldy, Kirill Kaprizov, and now Brock Faber. And in a sense, when this team is healthy, They have more depth. You're not going to be missing a guy like Jarrett Spurgeon. So you have to play Goligoski or a Merrill every single night. Mm-hmm. But it does the part of that too is, I do think Bill Guerin does want to just get a team that can win right now. You have to look at the big picture. And I know his job, maybe not on the line in any sense right now, but he's the one whose job is at stake at the end of the day. You and I are just talking about the team. So you have to have that higher up. Like, he's not the end ball be all. That's Craig Leopold at the end of the day. He's the one that says, Billy, you're here, you're not, whatever. So if that's the message that his boss, in a sense, is saying, we want to win, I want to win, I want my money to win, then he's going to have to say, yeah, you know, we're looking to still win. But I think maybe there's a instance of, if we get off to a bad start next year, maybe some of these younger guys do play a bigger role. And that's where I think we want to see the younger guys compete and give him a reason to then say, you know what, Johansson down, Goudreau down.
And this is what I want.
And that's what I think you and I want. And I think maybe, hopefully, fingers crossed, that's maybe what Bill Guerin wants and John Hines might want at the end of the day next year.
So I'm with you completely. First of all, I am not saying that this team should stink. I'm saying I want the young guys to get an extended opportunity. And if they fail, I want to go through that, because there's going to be blips and there's going to be times where things don't go well. But the nice thing is, if they play well, there'll be a young, exciting team. They can make the playoffs. There's no question about it. What I want to do, I guess the best way to put this, is I want to remove John Hines' crutches. I see Johansson as a crutch. I see Goudreau as a crutch. They are not meaningful players, but they are veterans, and you sort of know what you're going to get. Now, in Johansson's case, I see no reason not to buy him out. I think I can't believe they even defended him. But that's, you know, that's my thing. Wallstedt, perfect example. I want to give him a lot of work. And yes, he's young still, but this whole thing about when goaltenders can play sort of drives me crazy, because he played in the Swedish Elite League, which is good competition. He's now spent 2 years in the American Hockey League, and they gave him some starts here at the end. And you know what? Let's expand on that. If Gustafsson, I mean, you have made your choice. Fleury's back. I have no problem with that. But if Gustafsson's now going to take playing time away from Wallstedt, and Wallstedt's going to spin his wheels at a place where he's proven he can play, I think that's a bad idea. So I certainly do not think that the Wild has to stink. I certainly don't think that this is some type of, you know, blow this team up. As we've talked about, you've got Kaprizov, you've got Boldy, you've got Rossi, you got Faber, Brodin still. This team doesn't need to be blown up. But what it does need to do is take away the crutches, because I want to see those. I want to see those young kids play enough that decisions, definitive decisions, can be made on them. So 25, 26, you can hit the ground running, and be, because your cap space is then going to become, if not plentiful, far better, far more advantageous age. Then you can go out and sign veterans that you want, not an aging, you know, 33-year-old dude who you can afford. And if you plug him in, he might do something for you. Yeah. So I think that this is a, I think this is a delicate balance here. It doesn't have to result in you sucking, but I do think that there is a, an ascension that can take place here. And it sort of started when Ogren came up, right? It sort of started with Faber playing every game, Rossi every game. Hustadinov playing. So like, to me, it sort of started it. I like that. So if, so I'm just hoping that they continue on this path to allow, as I like to say, nature to take its course here from a roster standpoint, so that in after next season, I think you can become a viable cup contender age, not a playoff contender. That's my thing too, is it seems like they're very big on making the playoffs, which I think is Craig's thing, because he wants people in this building, because if you get a couple of playoff games, that's a lot of gate, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I get that. You're a businessman. You're trying to make your cash back. But
yeah,
my reality is this. I want you to say, from a hockey operations standpoint, no, 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 we're not just going to make the playoffs. We are a team that can make a run. And that's something that I don't think this team is close to yet. But with the right moves made, the right decisions made, I think you've got an opportunity.
And I want to address this comment from Gary here in the chat, which is he's not paying to watch a team rebuilding it. And I understand that. I think that's a very valid statement. I don't discount that whatsoever. And I don't think either of us are asking to see a rebuild. We want to see the team break the habit, which is going what you said, is just making the playoffs.
Right.
Just making the playoffs. I don't want to be happy with just making the playoffs. They've done that now, it seems like, most of the time the past decade. And then some even. I want to see a team that is set up to where once they get to the playoffs, you know that they are making a run, not just like, will they, won't they get to the second round? It's going to take a 6-7 game tussle. We're going to go to war and we're going to have some casualties, but we got to that second round and we're in there a little bit. I want a team that is going to set up for a third round appearance, get to that final, make a run at the cup, not just we're satisfied and hey, pat ourselves on the back, we got here to the postseason, keeping the streak alive. Like, I don't want to be the Red Wings having that streak of like, just get the discount about them is they won the cup a bunch of times, but that's the thing that is different between this Western team in the Wild, which is they're happy with just getting there and keeping a streak alive of postseason. Because, you know, it's more hockey. You know, I want a team that is going to put a banner up at some point, and not for what we've seen some other teams do, like the Predators, where it's like, hey, you know, we won the President's Trophy. You know, I want to see them put it up that says Wild Stanley Cup champions. That's what I want. Not just make the playoffs. Hey, fantastic. Pat on the back.
You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
Yep. And to give yourself that chance for a window, an extended period of time too. That's the thing, is we have now seen the Wild enter into the, oh, we can make the playoff mode. And you know what? The first or second time that you make the playoffs after a lengthy absence, it is fun. But there was far more consternation in this building last year than this year, in my opinion. Because people were sick of, oh, we made the playoffs, and then you lost to Dallas, or the year before you lost to the Blues, or the year before you lost to, what, the Golden Knights, or the year before that, or 2 years you lost to the Stars or something like that. That's the point. It's like, how do you give yourself an extended period of time where you have an opportunity, not only where you make the playoffs, but you make a run, which gets us to what I guess is going to be, could turn into a touchy topic, but I find it to be interesting. Kirill Kaprizov. Disappointing, largely because he was hurt first half for him, but just to be very clear, for him.
Yes.
Outstanding second half. Absolutely took off again, and that's who we know that Kirill is. Now, he was asked in his press conference today about, you know, if this team doesn't make the playoffs for a couple of years, and keep in mind he signed for two more years, which is going to go quickly. And he, of course, ducked it a little bit, and it's like, who says we're not going to make the playoffs? Guerin talked about the fact that Kirill, not surprisingly, wants to win, and that this team, this franchise, needs to show him that we are, quote, committed to winning, which, one, I think that by developing guys around him, that's showing him that.
Yes.
The other thing is, then, you see, the problem now is the cap's going up, right? And so it's not that the Wild can't go out and perhaps sign a guy or two guys. Now, they wouldn't be super expensive because there are cap constraints for one more year because of the Parisi and Suter buyouts. But they could go out and sign a couple of guys in July. The issue with that is, if you give them multi-year contracts, are they really the guys you want? Or, again, are they the quick fix? Are they the gorilla glue fix? So, like, it's broken, and now you're like, here's how we're going to fix it. But if you wait until the following summer, when you really have cap space back because the buyouts are off the books, now you're talking about impact free agent signings to go with a young class that you developed last year, or what will now be 24 or 25. And in my opinion, that's the greatest thing to show Kaprizov. If he starts to see that this team, that he is part of a young, exciting, fast, hopefully more physical product next season, I think you set yourself up really well to have him be excited. So again, the Kirill thing to me, and I mean, he likes it here. If he if he decides that he wants out, you're going to have to trade him, because we can't have a Gabrick 2.0. Oh, whoops, we didn't trade him, and now he's left us for nothing. But all of that said, I think that there is a very clear path with the track that they're on to Kaprizov signing a long-term contract to stay here and be extremely excited about the direction of things.
Right now, the Wild seems like a... You and I, we are giving up our city lives. We're moving out of the suburbs, Judd, and we're out to rural Minnesota. We're starting a farm.
Beverly Hillbillies.
There we go.
It's the Beverly Hillbillies.
Except the reverse.
Way before your time, but that's what we're doing. Okay.
The Wild are moving out to rural Minnesota, and they're starting a farm. There's nothing there. Crops, nothing. Barn, zero. And the team, it's going to be a long, hard work. Days aching your body. Just, I want to give up. But they're going to push through, mainly because they have to. Contractually obligated, they have to. But you're telling me that if you put in the work to get the crops right, the corn stalks are as tall as you can see.
Yep.
Chickens and cows and everything running around the farm. The barn is filled with different horses and all this stuff. You're telling me that after 2 years, if everything looks good and right before you're able to cash in on a good crop and all this other stuff, and dairy sales are through the charts, that Kaprizov's going to want to leave for some other farm that, you know, who knows what they have. They might have pesticides in their carrots. Who knows? But he knows that this team, they put in the work, and he's been a part of it. He's out there tilling the fields. He's out there watering the crops. You have to build it up. And I think that goes where showing him there's a future is a lot better than a deep run 1 year as a lucky, hey, we hit our stride and we just kind of made something out of nothing. Building that foundation with these young prospects that I think you and I and Jesse, who's been on here, and Declan, who's been on here a lot, it's the future is so bright, but it you have to show him that the pieces around him, putting in that work and building these guys up, developing. I mean, Bill Guerin talked about it with some of the guys in the press conference today. I heard him harp on Marco Rossi's season and how pleasantly surprised and how good of a breakout year he had, which that is another topic of, I think that's very, it's music to my ears that he was high on him, because I know there was some weird rumors about a potential trade involving Rossi this offseason, but it starts with guys like that. And you have these guys in the pipelines. It's just a matter of getting them up here and showing Kirill Kaprizov, hey, you want to be in with us for the long haul, because the long haul with us is bountiful crops. you're heading to market and you have the fattest cow in the show. You're getting the blue ribbon on that pig. You're heading to the state fair and you're saying we are coming home champs.
Absolutely. And yeah, and Billy praised Faber, Boldy, Erickson Eck, Kirill, Rossi. So like, I mean, Bill's point, he's not wrong, is there were a lot of good players. Like, I think the season was disappointing, and I just quite frankly think the team, I think everyone overestimated the team itself. I mean, as Bill said, the depth was not exactly good, and Bill took responsibility. The other thing that they're going to have to get right here, too, and I don't know if this is an evolution or exactly what, but it was a second consecutive year that this took place, and it can't happen again, and that is... If you recall, when the Wild started the 22-23 season, they were really meek. Like, they were just got shoved around. Mm-hmm. And so Bill went out and got, at the time, Ryan Reeves from the Rangers. And Ryan came here and was, you know, absolutely a locker room glue guy. I mean, he was great. And all of a sudden, the brashness came back. And there was a lot of fight. This year, with Reeves gone to Toronto and Pat Maroon sort of replacing him, the fight went away again. And I think it was Ryan Hartman this afternoon who said, there was a long time, quote, that I thought that I wouldn't want to play against us. This season, I didn't think that, which was a very telling thing. But, you know, this team needs some spunk. This team can't. And I always thought Foligno would be that guy. And I don't know if he just isn't or what. I know Spurgeon was out a lot. I'm sorry. I refuse to believe that Spurgeon is, you know, at his size, and I know he's the captain, but I refuse to believe that he's the guy who's like barking the team as far as the swagger goes. Like, that's the thing is, a year ago, it started this way. And then this season, it was this way almost the whole season, as you just had no swagger. You can't play professional sports with no swagger. It doesn't work. And so that's something that definitely has to be fixed. I don't know if you hope it comes out of, I don't know, the Fabers of the world or what, or if you go get that guy. But it's very, very clear that for two consecutive years, at some point, the Wild has lacked that. And that leads into something the players talked about today, which was sort of the, we're down by a goal, woe is me, which there's nothing more frustrating. You know, shrug your shoulders. What am I supposed to do? Now we're down again. Like, this team has had at different times really, really impressive resilience. This season, throughout the whole thing, that was gone, and that has to be fixed, and that's an internal thing. That's not a talent. Like, that's not a – that guy has to be on the ice thing, as we saw with Reeves. It's an attitude, a tone that's set. I don't know how you get it back unless you probably make a move. But, I mean, Bill Guerin was that guy as a player. I mean, he was a total tone guy. So that's one thing that this team has to look long and hard and consider from that perspective, because it was very clear that this was just sort of a, at times, way too much a dead-ass locker room.
Yeah, and Rick says here, I don't know anything about farming. You are correct. I know zero. The farmers are much better people than I. I appreciate all the work they
farmers
do.
Farmers are great.
Fantastic. I could not grow a potato. So you are spot on there. And Judd, if you don't mind, I'll go back to maybe right at the start of what you were saying, which is the people that Bill Guerin kind of praised. You mentioned Kirill, Marco Rossi, Matt Boldy, and
Erickson Eck.
And Brock Faber, if I didn't already mention
Faber.
It. There's a theme there in amongst that group. Younger, talented, skilled. Younger is the word that I know there were some questions brought up that maybe brought. I know John Hines was talking about maybe that you can unlock the potential, and he's still pretty high despite being a veteran on a guy like Ryan Hartman. But the group that I think deserve the most praise, rightfully so, got it with that younger group, and that's where. Moving forward, I would like to think that maybe is a hint of, hey, let's get some of these younger guys in, because he talked earlier about the having the younger group challenge the vet and maybe make them scared of, hey, you're going to take my playing time, and have that battle within the locker room. To your point too, then, about the mental fortitude. That seemed to be a theme today of some of the guys saying like, hey, we just weren't a tough team to play against. Weird to hear that, I would say, because it seems like a year ago, it seemed like at times we were talking about this team was playing like old school hockey, like late 90s, where we're dropping the gloves and we're chucking knucks and we're throwing the bite around because they had a Ryan Reeves and they had, if you drive a Ford F-150, you can drive a little more rugged through the snow. You know, you have the four-wheel drive. If you drive a Prius, you're not able to, you know. Right now, they're driving a Prius, and they're tackling a Minnesota blizzard every single night to where a guy like Kirill gets hit. Who's responding? Sure, Mason Shaw stepping up. That's not the guy that I think you can ask to be your enforcer. Marcus Foligno was battling injury all most of the year. You can't rely on him when he comes back, and his body's taking a toll in as he ages here. It's only going to be older next year when he comes back. You need to, and I'm not saying you need to trade Rossi Urban here. I'm not saying that because I think he's very promising, but you do have to look at some of the other guys in the dead wood, so to speak, of you replace them with size, physicality, but then you bury them at the bottom of the lineup and you let the skill players, the cream, rise to the top.
First of all, I don't understand. The grit thing is really weird to me because, again, this team was not that good. Like, how do you come away saying that we didn't show enough grit when, I mean, most of your bottom six should have been nothing but grit, right? Like, most of that bottom six, and I'm not even talking about swagger grit. I'm just talking about, okay, I'm going to go work my ass off because I ain't that good. The swagger thing is, yes, the swagger thing has to be addressed. And unfortunately, I guess the most I can damn this team is by saying this. There was far too much of a Suter Parisi era feel to this team, but without even that talent. And that's inexcusable. That can't happen. Like, that cannot happen. You didn't go through this buyout hell. And I was on board with the day that those two were bought out, and I still am. But you didn't go through this hell to then end up with that sort of like, well, I don't like what's happening to me, or I don't. And that's why I think some guys have to go. That's why Goudreau had a bad year. I don't question him. I think he works hard. Now, does he belong in the league? I don't know. Maybe not.
Maybe on a different team.
Yeah, yep, yeah, yep. Yeah. And fourth line contender, maybe, huh?
Yes.
Huh? Perhaps that. But I mean, that's where a guy like Johansson, I object to. Like, you came here, and Billy said it today. He's like, he basically said his skill is tantalizing. That's really dangerous. And then Billy said that you know, you watch him play and you want, and you're like, oh my God, the skill. But this guy came here from Washington, played well in the last year of his contract, knew exactly what he was doing, robbed you blind on a contract, and then cashed it in. I'm sorry. I've seen that act. Don't need that act. So, and Bill Guerin's not dumb. He saw that too. Like this is, he's not going to say that, but he saw that. And so it's guys like that. Like, we can go through the veterans and who should be moved ideally and who shouldn't. But when you get guys sitting at their locker stalls, barely sweating, I have no time for that. I have no time for that. And again, I'll say it. You didn't go through the financial burdens that you've gone through to replicate it. A guy like Johansson was a mistake. He shouldn't have been. I understand why he was brought back. He shouldn't have been retained. And you know, this is not something where you got to go through the entire room and blow guys out. I don't think this is a team-wide problem. But when it comes to attitude, when it comes to work, there are guys that have to go. And that's just a fact. I will continue to say I do think that the future is bright. I think if things are done right, Kirill is going to want to stay. Kirill doesn't, I don't know if you agree with this or not. Some Russian players are very big on, I want to go to, at the very least, Chicago or New York, Los Angeles. Heck, Fiala did, and he's not a Russian player. But I don't know if you agree with me on this. I don't sense that from Kirill. Now, a guy I could see, and this is a long way, so it's not a concern, Murat, who I think is a character. I could see Murat being a Broadway guy, right? Like, he just looks like he would like Broadway. I could see him saying, yeah, Minnesota, a little too cold, a little too much like home. I want to go to the Big Apple. I don't, unless I'm totally misreading Kirill, I don't sense that. I don't think you're going to have a problem of him demanding a trade unless he just thinks it's hopeless here. I don't think he would. He doesn't strike me as the type who's going to try to get out of the market because of the size or location.
I get that feeling too, which scares me, because I would, for as like as much as you and I and the fan base adores him, imagine just getting the rug pulled out from everybody and he's like, "Yep, I'm gone. I just can't do it anymore. I need the bright lights. I need the spotlight."
Or Florida. Or the Panthers get by the ocean.
Vegas, can you imagine down there on the strip, Kirill?
I see that. That's the thing, is I can't imagine that. I could see the Heat. I could see the Heat, but I don't know. I don't see that.
He seems like a guy that, like, he just gives off this, like, blue collar, I want to take on the adversity, I like the challenge, I want to win here. The Wild took him in the fifth round. You know, I feel like he cherishes, these guys took a chance on me. They stuck with me through contract extension in the KHL. They got me over here. They've helped get me acclimated to the States. I feel like he has that tether. And grant credit to a guy like Zuccarello, or even while he was still here, Matt Dumba, for making him feel like this is his home, this is his family. I feel like he takes that not with a grain of salt. I really think he does want to stay here, but they have to give him a reason to do so.
Correct.
And that's where now all of a sudden the table turns back to Bill Guerin, John Hines, Craig Leopold, to make that work for him. Because you can only drive down a road so much, but if he sees that dead end sign, I don't blame him for taking a U-turn if the circumstances make him want to turn around.
Yeah, and I think that would be, if you sell out to make the playoffs next season and you get bounced again in the first round, and now you've traded some talent, which I don't think that they're going to do. I don't think that they're in jeopardy, but I do think that there is a way to sell him. It's because he's from Siberia. Yeah. He's just not. And the other thing with him is I don't think he has any interest in, and this is a small thing, but it could be important. Doesn't strike me as Kirill would really enjoy playing like for the Rangers, and now the media comes in and it goes six deep. Like, I think Kirill likes, hey, I'll take a shot at trying to speak English with the Star Tribune and the Pioneer Press, the Athletic, and a couple of us other bozos there. But, you know, if you go to the Rangers, if you go, you know, there's places that you can go where it's going to be intense. So I just think that's probably a positive working in the Wild's favor, because like Gabrick, you could tell, like with Gabrick, you could tell he was out for the spotlight, and he got it, and he's a hell of a player. That was a huge loss. Mm-hmm. But definitely a different personality.
Yeah, and that's where I think you maybe are hinting, because we, the kind of the video stuff that we're seeing with Murat kind of behind the scenes, where
he's gonna be a bit, yeah,
you get that sense where he's a personality, and yeah. And once he gets a little more comfortable, I feel like in front of the camera here in the States, not it's, doing the Russian on. Media stuff. He's going to be a guy that I think fans are going to immediately cling on to, because he seems like a jokester. He's got the personality, and we've talked about it. I think he's got the skill and kind of the mentality to play in the league. So he's going to be an easy guy to attract yourself to. You need to also cement him where you got to show that there's a future, not just, hey, thanks for getting me in the league, thanks for helping me get acclimated.
Oh, but yeah.
Now it's da 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 da.
He might, yeah. He's a guy, and I mean, this is a ways off, okay?
Yes, wait.
Kaprizov's a concern in 2 years, so that's right now a real conversation. Murat's the type of guy I think might be like, hey, thanks a lot for all your help here, and now I'm going to go play in Madison Square Garden. Thank you very much. But I mean, that's a different thing. All right, sir. Final thoughts on what Bill Guerin or John Hines had to say, or anything else regarding the world of hockey?
You know, I I know I'll save some draft talk. I know we're going to aim for
next week. You're going to give me an updated rankings prospect, and the Wild right now locked into drafting no lower than 13th. The highest they could draft is third, but in Wild fashion, I'm sure it'll be the 13th pick, which, by the way, could still be a very good player.
Unfortunately, I do have to correct you, because even though they are heading into the lottery in the 13th spot, they could get jumped by both by either Pittsburgh or Detroit or St. Louis. So they actually have a 5.1% chance of dropping back one spot to 14th.
Why'd you tell me that?
I'm so sorry. They do have a 4.2% chance of getting up to third overall. But more than likely, they're going to sit at 13.
So it's 14 the farthest back?
Yes. No, there's literally one ping pong ball that will be in there that they could drop back to 15th. But I don't want to say that's not going to happen, because it's a Minnesota Wild club. Like, yep, it's a Minnesota team. Who else would that happen to? Right. But it's literally one ping pong ball that will be in there to make them drop back to 15th. So,
but next week
we'll talk about all that. When it comes down to it, I would have liked a couple more straightforward answers from some of these guys. And I understand they're playing poker at the end of the day, because you don't want to, like, if you do want to try to make a move, or if you are
right,
thinking of potentially buying out somebody, you don't want to, you know, make a public announcement at this stage and then have to sit on it and wait. And then there's this whole, that's going to come up. But I was very pleased with the praise that the younger crew got for the season, for a lot of the kind of breakouts, and especially Rossi, Faber, those two guys. It was nice to see them kind of get their flowers here at the end of season wrap up, despite Guerin and Hines both kind of describing it as an otherwise disappointing end result to the season.
Yeah, I would say that I come away from not just today, the season, actually optimistic, which might sound really, really weird. But I'm optimistic that if they do the right things, that they're on the right track, that they have a very good chance to, I think they can make 24, 25 competitive and fun. I don't think they're going to be great, but I think that they can make that fun. But I think coming out of the buyout hell age, I think you could be positioned really well. In fact, you know what? I might liken it a little bit to where the Vikings could potentially be. Like, the Vikings have a good chance here if they get this right, certainly with the quarterback in the draft, to position themselves really well, and that is exciting to see. Last thought from me is, I love this sport. It's a great sport. But the latest example of what buffoons there are who run this sport at the time came in Arizona today, where the owner, who is being given a quote-unquote dead franchise to hold on to for 5 years, and Gary Bettman held a press conference I heard bits and pieces of. It was as embarrassing as it gets. I don't understand how this league can't get out of its own way.
He blatantly lied during the press conference.
Which
they had
one?
So, you know, when they...
Morello, the owner?
Morello, yes. Yeah. They had that the vote to like stay in Tempe and get it. He said that he knocked on over 1,000 doors by hand, was told up until a half hour before the vote that they were going to win by a landslide, and he spent $7 million of his own money on the project, on like promoting it. And there's a public record that he had to disclose. He spent $1.1 million. Like, people have the internet. You can't just lie.
Oh, he thinks people are morons. He hasn't spoken. That's the thing, is they like wheeled these two out on a cart to talk for the first time. Morello hasn't spoken in months. He is one of the most unpopular people in that state right now. And this buffoon of a league has said, we're going to give you, to get the franchise away without you suing us, we're going to have this imaginary 5-year period, and within 5 years, if you can get the land deal done and build a state-of-the-art arena, that you can then pay us $1.5 billion back or something, or $1 billion back, and we're going to give you a team, which is all a bunch of crap. The Salt Lake thing is they're going into the Jazz's building, which by the way is the same situation that the Winnipeg Jets, when they became the Coyotes, went into. because what they did was they went into a basketball building that couldn't house hockey. And they're like, we'll get the hockey taken care of. And they went out to Glendale, which was, you know, an hour away from the city. It absolutely, this whole thing. And you know what? Seattle and Vegas have been great. There's no complaints there. They've been done well. But you know what this is? This is all a cash grab. This is all a cash grab because, and Bettman is popular because what he does is he makes money for the owners without any thought to the good of the game. And that's, you know, this franchise, the Coyotes, was run by the league for a few years. And that's when they should have said, we got to find somebody who can get a building done and who is, you know, not Murillo, who is a complete idiot. We got to find an owner that can either do this right or we will just move this team. Instead, you know, this has been haphazard. I feel bad for fans, but I mean, at every step of the way, this has been screwed up. And don't forget that this is a team that was taken out of Winnipeg, hockey mad Winnipeg, and moved to the desert because they couldn't get their act together then. This league, every step of the way, can screw things up beyond belief. And it's a great sport, and it's got some really good teams, and it's got some awesome fans. But the problem is this. So you're now going to give this guy the Coyotes' rights. And I think his quote was, well, all I did was basically sell the hockey operations. This is the same thing that before the North Stars left for Dallas, this is the same type of thing that when the Guns were granted the Sharks expansion franchise and they flip-flopped with, at the time, Howard Baldwin, who was the guy that sold to Norm Green, and they took North Star players. It is the most minor league, and that's circa 1991-ish or so. You know, so 30 plus years after the fact, they still can't get out of their own way. It's an embarrassment, and I feel awful for fans that get caught up in this crap, because yes. I was there once and it absolutely sucks. And at every turn, Gary Bettman just ducks. But my God, how this Murillo clown ended up owning this team. And they asked him today about the fact he didn't pay his rent in the old building. And he basically said, I don't know anything about unpaid rent.
Did you really quick? I have 2 points. One, because it just came to me. He was asked about refunding season ticket down payments that for fans that have already placed their money down for season tickets next year. He said, I'm going to need a minute to breathe and then we'll take care of it. What do you mean you're going to take a minute to breathe? Buddy, you've been having time to breathe all season long.
You're also making interest. If that money is in the bank, you are making interest off of these people, which is not... I mean, there is nothing ethical about this entire thing. No. It smells, but how he ever got his hands on the franchise, that's what I don't understand. Yeah. And how this league allows that crap. And now they're going to try and expand back in. It's so poorly done, and it's such a joke. And this sport deserves so much better than this type of gong show. It always has, it always will, but the mistakes, I mean, age, this is a league that I think it was 77-78 allowed or had the Cleveland Barons merge with the North Stars. So they took an unhealthy franchise and just threw it together with another, at the time, struggling franchise. You know, if you think about what this league has done, I mean, they lost a team in Minnesota. How the hell do you lose a hockey team? It's just such a long history, pre-Bettman too, of just buffoon-like behavior, and I feel bad for fans. That's my final thought.
Yeah, I feel terrible for the Arizona Coyote faithful because they've just been robbed. I mean, that to have a team there, and I know the past few years have been terrible and going through, like, you've been the laughingstock of the league, which is unfortunate.
You're in a college arena.
You're in a college arena. Mullet arena. Like if seating 5,000.
Yeah.
I feel terrible for them. The fans deserve a lot better. That being said, the transition to Utah, Salt Lake City, it was unveiled really quickly that they're not going to have a name. They're going to go by Utah, but not Salt Lake City. But they're going to be like the Utah Hockey Team or the Utah Hockey Club. Do you have an idea for what you want to see them name? Because they actually did coin the Utah Blizzard, I think was one.
They trademarked names, and included was that one. It was the, like, I think it was three names, and they also for now trademarked Utah Hockey Club. And here's the worst one, Utah HC. So it's like your sport, soccer. Please welcome Utah HC.
That's that sounds like an MLS team. I mean, I get it. If you
there
are,
he is, Michael Russo.
Hey,
the Coyotes are a complete joke. We were just Utah HC. Yeah, go get your scarf, Russo. Go get your scarf for Utah HC.
It's one thing. Yeah, it's one thing if you're a European team. You know, you're in Finland, you're in Sweden, sure. Right. But come on, not in the United States. Pick a team. I keep seeing the Utah Yeti. I don't know. Just sure. I like it. Utah Yeti. I saw.
What's your logo?
Like the Abominable Snowman type thing.
Okay.
I mean, it's a monster.
You know what? I got an idea.
Yeah.
Why don't we do this?
Okay.
Have Craig Leopold call, I believe, the guy that bought the team and owns the Jazz, Ryan Smith, offer up the Wild nickname.
Little swap here. Little swap.
Little swap. Give them that name, and we can start again.
Ooh,
I still hate our name, so.
And it seems like they're already leaning towards doing a little change of branding. With I know the team picture was put up with the 78s, the Wild 78 jerseys. So they're looking to maybe change some things.
Oh, they
up.
Like the 78s, yeah.
Why not start? Why not start fresh? Why not start new? I'm fine with that.
And you know what, to me, Utah Wild sounds fantastic.
Yeah. I think
the Utah Saints. Yeah, let's keep going through a few of these. So we got the Venom.
Venom's
the Saints,
good. I know Swerve here. The Freeze, I think, was one of the original ideas. Like,
the Voyagers was one.
Oh, it was?
Yep. The Voyagers. It was the Voyagers. I think the Freeze, perhaps, is right.
Let's see. I'll go back.
There was no great names. That's the one thing I will say. Back in the day, there were no great names.
Yeah. One of the other ones that got beat out by the Wild was like the Blue Ox, the Minnesota Blue Ox.
That's correct. Yep.
Blue Ox. I think that's better than Wild. Like I like the logo because it's intricate and makes you think, but the team name Wild is just meh.
I don't like thinking that much. Utah Snowballs.
Let's see. We've got the Utah Sandstorm. They have deserts in Utah.
Do we have sandstorms? I know nothing about it.
I don't know. The Utah Sermons. I guess what? You want to get a little religious on it.
I was going to say, I'm not going to comment on that one.
the Skyhawk.
I thought of something and then I'm like, I don't want to say that.
Utah Bees. Fine with that. And, you know, sure. Let's change it to the St. Paul Ice. I don't Utah Rangers. No, you can't be the Range.
So right? How much would you object to not having a team name for a season, which of course steals from the playbook of the professional hockey league, because we don't have nicknames on them yet.
I get it because I understand this has all been a very, it seems like rushed process of like, we didn't have a lot of information. So I would like to know behind the scenes, like what is going on. And from the PWHL to take their process and like their information that came out, it seems like it's a long, long process because you have to have the ideas. It has to get approved by like multiple committees. You have to then outsource it. You have to make sure it's approved by different like sensory groups, make sure people approve of it. And then it's like, let's get the right coloring tones. Do we want to go darker on this shade of blue? Do we want to have a yellow one? No, let's change it to white. Right. And then we have to go through getting the merchandising. Do we want to do t-shirts, jerseys? Let's run through. And you have to repeat this process until it's like, okay, now we have an idea. What we can't have, though, is the Washington football team, who are potentially on the verge of having another name change to be a third different franchise in a matter of
Commanders.
Like 6 years.
Yeah. Well,
if you're going to do one season, I understand that. But you have to have a set date of we are unveiling at this exact time.
Just don't go by something as pretentious as HC. Like if you're the Utah Hockey Club or something like that, okay.
Yeah,
but it's the HC that gets me. This isn't soccer, and this is nothing against soccer, but that's their thing, right?
Yeah.
FC, that's their thing. So anyway, I'm sure that they'll come up with something great. Again, I think that they should probably just trade the name and send them the Wild name along with Goudreau and Johansson for their team, and then perhaps they can get back a player. Shane Doan's kid, who I really like, who I think is fantastic. And now that poor guy has to move out of his house probably and go to Utah. All right, we...
Really quick, speaking of that, did you see that they didn't take his banner. Retired banner?
From the building that they were booted from. They didn't take it. I saw on Twitter, there's a bunch of different reports. I saw one that said that the Coyotes were actually called and they didn't go pick it up. And so it was like put out to pasture. I don't know if it was thrown out, but it was like stored or something. And the guy that gave it to Doan basically took it. And then he was accused of stealing it, but the Coyotes were doing nothing with it. It's a mess. It's a complete mess. But Shane Doan, who actually, when he was a kid, was forced to move with the Jets to Arizona. And then became a hero there, and now again his team is gone. So anyway, all right, sir, we are we're done. Thanks as always for tuning in to Judd's Hockey Show. Again, as AJ alluded to, as he teased to, we'll be back next week. AJ is going to run through the prospect pool again because things have definitely changed since the last time that he gave us a great deep dive around Christmas time. And now that we have a better idea of where the Wild is drafting, who might be available, that will be on the next Judd's Hockey Show.